The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Hi, everyone. We're back on the Carolina Outdoors. And as we say each week, we try to encourage you to get outdoors, to do a new sport, to take on a new adventure of some sort. Also along the way at the Carolina Outdoors, we like to talk to interesting people who are making the things happen in our Carolina Outdoors. And lastly, as I, the outdoor guy from Jesse Brown's, hang my hat at Jesse Brown's, for 50 years Jesse Brown's has been outfitting people for the outdoors, we also get to talk about cool brands that are in Jesse Brown's or are making the news in the outdoor realm. So anyway, that's what we're going to do on this segment of the program. We're going to go back in time a little bit at this particular time to the Civil War, or just after the Civil War, 1865, and two brothers who took on a new task of buying surplus canvas, duck canvas, from the U.S. Army. We're going to find out about those brothers in 1865, and then how this certain brand has evolved over the past 150 plus years. So to help me do that, we're going to bring in the representative from the Duck Head Company, James Kokalis. You are in studio Jesse Brown's, to talk a little bit about Duck Head. So how much of that did I get right? Two brothers, 1865, and a whole bunch of duck canvas.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Happy to be here at Jesse Brown's, and we're honestly honored to be a part of your specialty store here in Charlotte. You nailed it. Honestly, you stole my thunder. We were founded in 1865, and our brand story is really woven into the fabric of American history. The brothers who you accurately stated, the O'Brien brothers, started our brand in 1865, just after the Civil War, as a real necessity for men's clothing after the war. If you think about it, you know, the men of the United States were wearing uniforms and fighting for their country during this time, and they needed something afterwards that was reliable and able to stand up to the test of time that was really facing shaping America after this.
Well, and it's really hard to imagine. They were in Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and the part that's hard to imagine is the supply chain. And of course, we're going to go through this now, supplying America with the supply chains moving into fall of 20 and into 2021 with the pandemic. But in Nashville, Tennessee, right after the Civil War, in my imagination, it would be like the end of the end of the world for a lot of businesses, for a lot of people, obviously. So they had to have product, apparel, clothing that they could count on that would last. And that was part of George and Joe O'Brien's secret, because once they acquired that duck canvas, they were able to make Duck Head. And I'll let you tell that story just so I'm straight on it, but product that would last for a year or more was Duck Head back in 1865.
Absolutely. And to actually have their basis be in Nashville was really at the center of the supply chain, if you will. The duck cloth or cotton canvas was made from, as you said, the troops' tents. So they were in the middle of where they could get all of the supplies that they needed of that durable cotton canvas. So it was in the heart of Nashville where they started and continued to make workwear really for almost 100 years. And it's really just a great American story from there.
Well, I just gave away the duck head part, and for our fashion forward people in the Carolina outdoor realm, especially during I would say in the 80s, in early 90s, duck head was an icon of fashion. Mm-hmm. It looked good. And if you wanted to look good, you had that little yellow tag with the mallard duck on it. That's what duck head was. What was it back in the olden days before that? Was it duck head, or did they call it the O'Brien Apparel Company, or what was it? And tell us about the duck story and the naming of the company.
Yeah. So for many years, I would call it, I believe it was 20 years or so, it was the O'Brien Apparel Company. And at that point, they tried to go up to, you had to really travel to DC at that time to get a trademark done. And they were not allowed to trademark duck. It was too general. So they were suggested, actually, by the US government to call it duck head. And they thought that, hey, that's a great idea. We'll do that. And so they were able to trademark duck head at that time. And that's what obviously we know the brand as today. But, you know, many people, like I said, for 20 years, it was the O'Brien brothers. What they were known for, you know, you as you accurately put, the fashion gold label of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, before was really just cotton canvas, durable products. They were known for their metal buttons. That had a duck on it, which actually we get sent probably once a month. People who have metal detectors as a hobby, they'll find them out in fields and they'll send them to us, because what we were really famous for at the time, back in the early 1900s, was our overalls. So the buttons from the overalls fall off in the field or out, you know, working around the house. And it's been pretty neat to have some historians send those to us, really on a quite frequent basis.
Well, I have to fast forward in time because, as I mentioned, it was a brand recognized throughout the 80s, early 90s. Of course, at Jesse Brown's, we are celebrating a resurgence of the Duckhead brand here in the 2020s. The stars are aligned and bright for it. And in fact, even in the challenging time of 2020, from a business standpoint and all of that, Duckhead Apparel has celebrated its success at Jesse Brown's and all the other dealers that you have across the country. But before we get to all of that, if you're just joining us, this is the Carolina Outdoors. I've got James Kokalis here. I'm Bill Barty. We're talking about one of our favorite brands in the industry, in the apparel and outdoor industry, Duckhead Apparel. And in the late 1970s, it's the difference that an energetic salesman can do. And of course, we're going into football season, and SEC football is, as we speak now, still on board for a season, as far as we know. And one of the main teams in the SEC and one of the main universities are those Ole Miss Rebels. So in 1978, Duckhead, on a sales call, went into Oxford, Mississippi. And then that was kind of the birth of the modern Duckhead, I would say, because Ole Miss played a big part in what happened with Duckhead. Will you tell that story and how it came about?
Absolutely. So to back up just a tiny bit, we really left off in the 1920s and 30s. But I did want to say that leading up into World War II, prior to our Ole Miss launch, up into World War II, the O'Brien brothers donated their factories to the U.S. government in order to produce Army uniforms for the troops throughout World War I and World War II, actually. So, you know, especially the officers wearing khakis, we produced, I think, around 5 to 6 million pairs of khakis during that time. So coming back from the war, you know, into the 50s and 60s, we really were ingrained still in that workwear culture. And leading up to where you're speaking about in the 70s, it still is quite crazy to me that we're talking about decades worth of brand history here.
And I love that patriotism. I mean, the factories went into production, like many of the factories in all branches of manufacturing, to help the cause for World War One and World War Two. So I'm glad you stopped me.
Yeah.
Before I went into
the fashion
world.
Okay.
That's a great part of the Duckhead story, or government contracts and factory use.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So moving into a little bit more of what we probably remember Duckhead as, Dave Basehart, who was the vice president of sales at that time, had the idea for the classic chino, really iconic pant of Duckhead, which is what he brought to Oxford, Mississippi. And it really is an explosion of Harold's story from there. It was really just keeping up, trying to keep up through the 70s, 80s, and really the 90s at that point.
Well, and it kind of, we oftentimes think of fads beginning maybe in California. We'll talk outdoor fads, California, maybe Florida, maybe the North Carolina mountains. We don't necessarily think of Oxford, Mississippi as being the birthplace of a fad, but it went from Oxford, Mississippi to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to Auburn, Alabama, to Knoxville, Tennessee, to, I mean, it covered a conference of universities and then went, I guess, across the entire country, but especially the South. The Southern male was drawn to Duckhead, I guess, from the beginning.
That's exactly right. The Southern male was absolutely drawn to it from the beginning, and it really creeped right up the East Coast. So all the way up to Nantucket, the Hamptons, it really became this aspirational brand that was set in place by the South and the Southern gentleman, if you will. And that's, and ironically enough, it then continued in from the 80s and 90s into the ladies' side of the business as well, and became just as popular. I talk to just as many women these days as I do men who either bought women's shorts or, you know, t-shirts, sweatshirts, etc., or they were just cutting off the men's chinos to wear as shorts.
Wow. James Kokalis, that's his voice right there. I'm Bill Barty. We're talking Duckhead, Duckhead apparel. And of course, I mentioned tailgating and football season, because as people, whether it be virtually or in real life, go to universities and that sort of thing, Duckhead for fall fits perfectly. But it also has kind of a sporting DNA to some degree. Bird season's coming up, and all of that fly fishing. So whether your passion's with a shotgun or maybe a fly rod, or maybe you're just an outdoor enthusiast along the way who needs or wants to look good, talk to us about 2020 and Duckhead, and I guess who they are in pursuit of, because I'm not going to let my wife cut my good pants off to wear them. But talk to us about that, and I guess the sports that maybe best represent Duckhead these days.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've really gone through a lot of Duckhead history, and today's Duckhead is really drawn on those inspirational times of a combined culture that really was the Southern gentleman along with the founding fabric of America, of being the workwear, hardworking people of the early 1900s. And so what we're bringing today to the brand is a mixture of both of those things. So a part of that is, you know, our chinos, which you can find here at Jesse Brown's. It's relatively the same as what you remember from back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We've updated the fit. We added some stretch to kind of keep it with today's needs. But to really match where we're seeing the industry going, it's in our outdoor styles that we've especially, again, brought here to Jesse Brown's. So when we think about our field hunting pants or our harbor performance short, first of all, Duckhead is rooted in cotton, cotton canvas, right? Like what we talked about. But in today, there are some needs to blend that with other fabrics that allow them, you know, to be more of a performance material while still wearing the brand that, you know, that everyone loves. So for instance, the field canvas is a cotton canvas that's mixed with a fabric called Sorbtec. Sorbtec is a rebrand of dry release. So it's really a fabric that responds to your body temperature, is moisture wicking, is easy care. So it's really a pant that you should feel just as comfortable wearing to the office as taking out in the field and going hunting.
What about the way people are dressing these days? Have you seen a change in, we're talking about their pursuits, but of course people were wearing a lot of this to work. It was casual Fridays and people aren't wearing suits or weren't wearing suits, but then all of a sudden we went virtual. So I want to find out about that. Has that changed the way people dress, or does Duckhead, maybe it's more relative now than it ever has been because of the change in people's habits?
I think we're able to adapt to the times regardless of our current scenario. You know, our shorts currently right now, our Harbor Performance short, at least to speak specifically about product, for me and my 9, 10 years in the industry so far, has been the single best-selling SKU that I've ever worked with. And that's in a time that is arguably would be the most difficult that we'll ever see during the pandemic for specialty retail. So I think that really speaks volumes to the quality of the product and its really ability to adapt to the needs of the customer, whether that's sitting behind a Zoom call where you're secretly wearing shorts and a button-up shirt to look nice, or you're out on the river, you know, fly fishing and need something to perform for the activity that you're doing.
Well, Jesse Brown's would resemble all of what you just said, because the Harbor Performance short has been untouchable as far as spring of 2020. And I also, if you're just joining us, we're talking brands at Jesse Brown's. Most specifically, we're talking Duckhead Apparel brand. And I like talking about the stories of brands, because we have others at Jesse Brown's who began with a purpose, whether it be Filson, who was founded out in Seattle, out in the Northwest, Seattle, Washington, whether it be the timber industry, the gold rush that occurred out that way that created this rough, durable American brand. We have Barber that becomes a big player in the fall, but it's got roots back during World War II, and it's over 100 years old, the monarchy in Great Britain. Same with Duckhead, a good Southern American brand that tells a story, has a purpose. And I guess with that, I should ask you, James, sales manager, making things happen across the country, what's your favorite thing about the Duckhead brand?
Yeah, and starting with Duckhead, I was obviously really excited about the opportunity to come and work and help relaunch this brand in the light of today. But something that really took me aback and I was shocked by is the experiences and the memories that people have with this brand and the emotions that it evokes from all different ages, women and men. It's been incredible. I mean, I've been traveling out on the road and in a coffee shop or a small sandwich shop, and I'll be wearing my Duckhead hat. And on multiple occasions, I've had people stop and say, "Duckhead, I used to love that brand. Is it back now? Is it around?" And I get to tell them, you know, our story and where we're at today. One of my favorite stories about the brand, and again, how it's truly woven into the fabric of our society, is I was in Tennessee. I was in this small town called Etowah, Tennessee, and I was on a arguably not the most glamorous portion of a sales job, a cold call, if you will. So I'm in a store and I'm talking to the lady behind a counter about the brand, and she's not interacting with me as much as I'm maybe used to. And she kind of stops me and she goes, "Do you know where you are?" Said, "Yes, ma'am, I do, you know." She said, "Son," she said, "this town was built around Duckhead. The Duckhead was this town's economy for decades." She said, "My mother worked at the factory and my grandmother worked at the factory." And it gave me goosebumps right there. You know, here I'm trying to tell her about this brand and it's woven into her life. And those type of stories are prevalent throughout my experience with this brand. And it's been fascinating to walk into scenarios where they're the ones telling me about their experience versus me telling them. And that's just a part of being able to hopefully go out and share their stories and continue that legacy.
Well, we're glad you shared it with us here on the Carolina Outdoors. We invite everybody to come over to Jesse Brown's and check out Duckhead. It is live and well in store in 2020. And then 2021, it's just going to get better and better and better. James Cookhouse, thank you for coming on the Carolina Outdoors and sharing that with us. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with more after this.